Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray for the light of your Holy Spirit. We may absorb the truth of today's readings. We may inflame our hearts and move our wills to choose that which is good. We may always do that which is most pleasing to the Father. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, so Lord Jesus Christ gives us this parable today of the weed and the wheats. Now, wheat is something fruitful. You can do something good with it. You can make cereals, you can make bread, you can make pastas, but weeds are something that's considered undesirable, unattractive, troublesome, especially when it's growing in a place where it's not wanted, in a garden. Now, different spiritual writers talk about the garden of the soul, that when all of us were baptized, the seed of sanctifying grace was planted in our soul, and that's meant to be cultivated, watered with prayer, weeds pulled out of the garden of our soul by self-denial, mortification, sacrament, confession, warm with the sunlight of the Eucharist, receiving our Lord in Holy Communion, spending time before Him in church. But as we're all very well aware of, weeds do, from time to time, grow in the garden. It's unfortunate, some people just get comfortable, there's some weeds here, no big deal. We have to be constantly vigilant to pull those out. Why? Because our Lord says here, the essence here, there will be a judgment at the end, right? That how we live our life matters. Was our life fruitful? The kingdom of heaven. Was there wheat there or was there weeds? There will be a final assessment on our lives, not by our own measure, not by the measures society of our neighbor, but by God's measure. Did we put our faith into practice? If we put our faith into practice, there will be great fruits. But there's something else to this within this gospel. God's great and infinite mercy and patience. Right when these weeds are noticed, the ones who work the field say, hey, should we pull those weeds out? No, not yet. Not yet. But if you look at this, weeds and weeds. We say, wait, the weeds, they're always going to be weeds. They're going to be good for nothing. Biologically speaking, a weed stays a weed, right? A tomato plant stays a tomato plant. But when God's grace enters, incredible things happen. Things are impossible in the natural realm. Someone that looks like a huge, huge sinner, God's grace can come in there and transform the person, transform their soul and their lives. I'm just going to give you a couple of short little stories here. One's a little bit longer about this doctor, Dr. John. One, if you've ever read the book, The Secret of the Rosary, wonderful book, short book, but if you have trouble praying the rosary, pick up that book. It's maybe about 75, 80 pages. And you have St. Louis de Montfort writing it. He talks about St. Dominic, but there's a part in the book where the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to Blessed Alain de Roche. Well, who's he? Well, he's a blessed, he's a successor to St. Dominic and Dominicans preaching the rosary. And Our Lady appeared to him and she said, you were a great sinner in your youth. You're like a big weed. No good was coming from there. But she said, but I obtained the grace of your conversion from my son. Now he went on to produce great fruits, going around preaching the rosary and the necessity of just being close to our Lord, Our Lady. Now here's a story that I just recently came acquainted with. And it just shows God's great and awesome power, where somebody who's working for the devil, the evil spirits, all of a sudden can be transformed and do wonderful things. It's Dr. John Brodlewski. He has left the darkness behind. He entered medical school in 1983 at the University of South Alabama, and he had learned different methods of abortion, sterilization, artificial reproduction, and began providing them during his residency. And he had different goals. He's going to be the best abortionist, late term, early term, everything. He's going to do all this. Now, he was raised in a devout Catholic family. And he believed the lies of society. You could do whatever you essentially want here with abortion, but still call yourself Catholic. He didn't really see the contrast there. He was in blindness. You know, the enemy, there's so much weeds that are growing up in the garden of his soul that he couldn't see the sunlight anymore of the truth. So he said, his mother, you know, the mother's always patient, always praying for the children for their conversion. He said, while I was doing this work, he said, I didn't see happiness or joy in my clinic and in my clients. So he's like, well, I think I'm helping people, but I'm not seeing any joy or any fruit from it. He said, wherever I had more abortions, more contraception, there were more broken relationships, more infections, more destruction, more brokenness. So he really couldn't figure it out. And his mother's still praying in the background for him. Hey, John, you know, we grew up, we prayed to Our Lady Guadalupe. Why don't you take a trip down there? And by God's great and infinite mercy, he's like, oh, okay. So he makes a trip down to Our Lady Guadalupe shrine in Mexico City. Our Lady appeared there in 1531. And while he was down there, now she is the patron saint, right, of the pro-life movement. Anytime there's pro-life rallies in Washington, D.C., come this January, you're going to see all these pictures of Our Lady Guadalupe. So he's down there, and Our Lady says this to him, why are you hurting me? Wait, who said that? Why are you hurting me? Feminine voice. But he doesn't get it. Why am I hurting you? How am I hurting you? So now he comes back, and people start talking about Medjugorje, the Marian shrine there. And his mother then starts mentioning it. He's thinking, boy, his name keeps coming up. How do you spell that? Medjugorje what? Medjugorje? And so, by God's great and infinite mercy, he takes his mom's offer up, and he takes a trip to Medjugorje. Now, this is an abortionist, okay? He still doesn't see the contrast of the life he's leading, what he's doing. I was destroying lives, and he's still calling himself a Catholic. So he goes there, and he said, the scales dropped from his eyes. He said, I was reawakened of the great love that Christ and Mary had, that love that was nourished in my heart as a child in my family's home. He said, it was the simplicity of the message of getting back to conversion. Then he said, while I was there, I experienced there was a young woman from Belgium who was there, and she was praying for pro-life causes. She told me she had a message for me about Our Lady, and she began telling me things about my life. Because some people are connected with the Lord puts things in their hearts where they can tell other people. Now, we can only surmise here, he doesn't say, but I can imagine this lady comes up and says, you know, I saw you, something was in my heart to pray for you. And as I prayed for you, I saw blood on your hands. And, you know, I'm in the pro-life movement, but I just have the sense that you're fighting on the opposite side. And all of a sudden, the scale's dropping more and more and more. So he comes back. He comes back to the United States. When I came home, I was given the grace not only to see myself as I really was, that's like when we see through God's eyes, you know, he said, my whole life passed before me. And he realized what he was doing was a horrible, horrible thing. And he said, the talents God gave him as a doctor, now he was going to use for better practice of medicine. He said, quote, the approach to reproductive health was the polar opposite to what Planned Parenthood was saying. That's what Our Lady told me my role was going to be. So in 1994, he founded Tepeyac Family Center. Our Lady appeared on Tepeyac Hill in Guadalupe. And he said he began it with his wife, and now it employs 6 pro-life physicians, 1 nurse practitioner, making one of the largest freestanding pro-life medical practices in the United States. So if we would have seen him before his conversion, this guy's just nothing but weeds. Boy, the Lord's going to wrap him up in bundles, the harvesters. He's going into the fire with a weeping and grinding of teeth. But God is so patient. You know, when he looks out, John Paul II said this at World Youth Day in Toronto, my God's grace, I was there. He said, you know, we're more than the sum total of our sins. When God looks at us, he sees the great innate goodness that's in the soul. So even this abortionist, a monster, God saw the goodness in there. And by God's grace, he came into the light and he's doing wonderful, powerful things. Now, all of us here, how many here, you don't have to raise your hands, how many here, when you stand before Jesus Christ, want to receive his mercy? I know I do. Father Benedict Rochelle says, when you die, he said, don't start making excuses for yourself. He said, just put your face flat on the ground or wherever you are in the clouds and just beg for God's mercy. And this is a very holy priest. Just beg for God's mercy and don't look up until God says that you can stand up. That's the attitude we have to have. Humble, merciful before God. But if we want to receive God's mercy, this is what our Lord said. I just reread this on a retreat in Faustina's diary, paragraph 1317. Our Lord said, if a soul does not exercise mercy somehow or other, no thought, word, deed, it will not obtain my mercy on the day of judgment. In our daily lives, how we interact with people, how we treat people, how we drive, how we do business, are we doing it with mercy? That means God's love. Are we doing it with that if we want to receive it at the end? Now, this beautiful garden of our soul, hopefully Jesus Christ, you know, the soul is in a state of sanctifying grace, Christ is at the center of it. The enemy comes and he's constantly trying to drop seeds of weeds there because he wants to just suffocate that, the life of Christ, out of our soul. So what we have to do is do some preventative measures. It's something I mentioned before, but Father John Hardin said something that's really important to remember in this notion of the soul being the garden is the iron law of human destiny. He said, always remember this. It's true. Thoughts lead to desires. Desire leads to action. And actions, if repeated, become habits. Habits form character. And character forms our destiny, either with the Lord or either with the devils. So he said, therefore, with our garden, we must control what we see, what we touch, and what we feel. And he explains that the modern media bombardment of the senses is so evil, it leads us to wrong thoughts, wrong desires, wrong actions, wrong habits, makes us a bad character and a bad final destiny. So we said we have to watch it. We're seeing, what we're watching, what we're doing, different people we're hanging out with, because it's so important to guard that. And so, in our lives following Jesus Christ, be faithful. Be faithful in cultivating the garden of your soul by frequent prayer. Fertilize it by frequent reception of the sacraments, especially Holy Communion and that of confession. And then weed it by mortification, self-denial, and expose it to the works of mercy. It just really, really nourishes, especially placing yourselves in the presence of the Lord. God has a wonderful destiny for all of us. And it really breaks his heart when someone rejects it. When God died for all of us, salvation is possible. But some literally spit in the face of Christ and go the other way. So I just on this retreat, the last day of the retreat, a bunch of us priests got up early and we went and we prayed at this abortion clinic in Rockford. This guy, we have to pray for him, Dr. Wayne Webster. He's responsible for 60,000 abortions. And so we're out there praying. We surrounded the abortion clinic. Pro Life was also, we had a special prayers in the church, praying and praying, praying for this man's conversion. This is asking God to take and just to transform him. So even a person like this, and he hates the church, he hates Jesus Christ, he puts horrible pictures up and things like that. But our faith tells us that even a person like this, who looks like he's nothing but weeds, that God could transform him. God could transform him and use him for beautiful things with love and power. So today at Mass, just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see any weeds that I have in my garden. Help me to see any weeds I'm sort of ignoring and don't have the effort to pull out. So my garden and my soul may be beautiful and fruitful, filled with wheat. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.